Good afternoon. Happy New Year. I'd like to give you a short sermon from the text we choose for this year. This is the scripture of the year of our church. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 26. Oh, sorry, 21, 26. Chapter 21, verse 26. Let me read from 25. I should read from verse 1, but it's such a long verse, so it's not easy to hear the long scripture in this warm room in the afternoon, after lunch, maybe. So let me read from verse 25. So David paid Arauna 600 shekels of gold for the site. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. He called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. Amen. You know this whole story, I think. If you do not know the story, please read chapter 21. Let me make long story short. This is the David's final mistake, sin actually. When David get old, in verse 1 said, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. Bible writer drew the story a little bit fantastic, you know, the Satan rose up against Israel and incited David. But actually, David made the mistake. He tried to count the Israelites, especially the people who can have sword, the armies. You know, the David was the man who had courage. When he was young, he fought against Goliath with 5 stones, no arms, right? But when he gets old, he starts counting the soldiers. Why? I don't know. But maybe he wanted to have something because he's getting old. He wants to know how many soldiers are there and how he wants to know what he has done. But actually, that was a mistake because the kingdom of Israel was being grown not because David was a good king, but because God was a good God. Right. But he misunderstood. So he started counting the soldiers. And he wants to know how many soldiers could fight against the enemies, fight against the other countries. That is wrong. Enemies and soldiers didn't fight. God fight against the enemies, right? So even the David, such a faithful man of God, he, because of his age, I don't know, and he changed, his faith was weakened, and he made a mistake. Even Joab, did not follow the order of the king. He said, "May the Lord multiply his troops 100 times over. My lord, the king, are they not all my lord's subjects? Why does my lord want to do this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel?" Joab knew this was wrong. But David didn't hear. He did not have the ears to hear the word of Joab. But so finally, Joab and the others went all over the country and counted only the people who can have the sword, which was 1,100,000 men. But after that, God, verse 7, this command was also evil in the sight of God. This command was also evil in the sight of God. So he punished Israel. This command was evil in the sight of God. What a sad word. This command was evil in the sight of God. You know the David, what kind of man he was before he became king. He was chased by Saul, king, and was being tried, killed. But David never tried to kill Saul. He never commits sins. He always followed the will of God, wherever he was. However bad his condition was, he always followed the will of God. He always looking for the will of God. He always looking for good in the sight of God. That's what he was. He was. But this time, he made a mistake. His command was evil in the sight of God. I do not want to have this sentence in my life. How about yourself? No. I am not a king, of course. But I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a pastor. I have some kind of responsibility for the people. I do not make any command, but I have to decide something. I have to choose something. You are, yes. This year, you have to choose some decisions. You have to make command to yourself. We must always find the command good in the sight of God, not evil. We have to be careful that the sight of God, I think this is very important. I preached this sermon in the morning in Japanese, but I didn't put any intention this word, But in Japanese, a little bit different, you know. But in English, it's very strong. Evil in the sight of God. Yeah. In Japanese, kami no me niwa. Also kind of a little bit different, you know. Sight of God. Sight is like the vision, you know. But this time, David has his own sight, and he made a decision on his own sight, not in God's sight. This is my prayer as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, as a man. Lord, I want to have your sight. Or at least I do not miss the sight of God. You know, the if you shoot something, have you ever shoot something? Maybe not. I did once. Yes. I did not shoot something, but I shoot the gun. One time. Now, in the United States, I joined the Royal Rangers camp. That is like a Boy Scout camp. And in that camp, we had a chance to shoot the gun in Royal Rangers camp. Yeah. They had for shooting a rattlesnake or other bad animals because we had a very dangerous camp. Actually, the rattlesnake was there in the tent right next to my neighbor's tent. Yes, they shoot the snake and ate. Yeah. After that, the leaders asked me, "Why, Pastor Horika, do you want to shoot the gun?" Oh, yes. I've never done it before, but okay. Put your hand here and put the other side on the shoulder and see the sight. You know, that's the sight. To aim to something. Yeah. And shoot the air. Do not see anything. Just shoot the air. Do not the trees, of course the people. Just air, open air, blue air. So you won't shoot anything. Yeah. That was the sight, you know. And I saw the air and shoot. I didn't kill anything, fortunately. Was very afraid experience, but anyway, that is the sight. You know, we need the sight of God. What God is aiming for? What God is look? You know the meaning of sin? Out of sight, yeah. Out of target, the meaning of sin. God has a target. God has a sight. But if we miss the target, that is a sin. So all we have to have is God's sight. You know, what? So when we pray, when I pray, especially this year, Lord, I need your sight. I want to see what you are looking, what are you seeing? What I want to aim, I want to follow. Where are you walking? You're going toward. Lord, I want to know, where are you going forward, you know? When I read this scripture, the text hit me. Even King David, the man of God, did something evil in sight of God. So we have to be so careful. So we have to be so careful. We have to have the sight. God's sight. But David, unfortunately, something evil in the sight of God, so he punished Israel. God punished Israel. God gave David three options as the punishment. That is verse 11. This is what the Lord said. Take your choice. 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away before your enemies with their swords overtaken you, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, days of plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord revenging every part of Israel. Now then, decide how I should answer the one who sent me. Wow. What a kind of choice or options. I don't want to choose anything. Oh. But David, he was blind before this punishment or the saying from God, but he opened his eyes a little bit toward God. Actually, he realized what he did. So David said to God, I am in deep distress. I am in deep distress. This is his confession. What I have done was bad. I'm in deep distress. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. But do not let me fall into the hands of men. Yes, this is David. Yes, he knows who God is. So he chose the third one, the plague. The Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead. Wow, 70,000. Out of million, he counted the soldiers. But just one day, even one day, God can kill 70,000 soldiers. Right in front of his eyes, the people are dying. David totally understands what he did was wrong. He should not have count the people. So he asked God, verse 17, was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What they have done, O Lord my God, let your hand fall upon me and my family, but do not let the plague remain on your people. Finally, David asked God, Lord, I am the one who had sinned and done wrong. He confessed. He made a mistake. He committed sin. And asked God, put your hand fall upon me and my family instead of your people. Please read carefully. David said, let your hand fall upon me and my family. do not let this plague remain on your people. He realized these people are yours, God's, not mine, not David's. I'm always fighting too. You know, we always misunderstand that we have is ours. Our money, our job, our family, the people, our circumstances, these are mine. That's what we count. That's why we have an account. We want to know what we have. In Japan, we have, I don't know if this is good customs, but we have nengajo on New Year's Day. We sent the card for New Year's Day. That is not the card for like a Christmas. You know, the most of the cards is just print. I had maybe 150 last year. Yeah. Most of them are just from the companies or the people or the churches too. But they just, you know, print. No handwritings. You know, no words. Just 今年もよろしく or something, you know. And a big print of tiger, because this is tiger's year. What the meaning of these letters? You know, that's just for post office? I don't like it, actually. Yeah, I don't like it. I like Christmas card very much, but I don't like this nengajo things. But the people who has a lot of nengajo has the confidence. Because getting old, they said, nengajo is getting decrease. Numbers is getting decrease. They feel something lonely because the people are going out, losing nengajo. 1,000, 50, 30. This doesn't make sense. But the people who thinks that the friends and companies and relations are theirs, you know, their own. Like David, the soldiers are mine. The country is mine. The position is mine. This land is mine. So he wants to count it. So he wants to have it. But when he made a mistake, he said, Lord, do not let this plague remain on your people. He realized that this is not mine. This is your people. What a wonderful understanding, but a lot of sacrifice. 70,000 people dead. But after the saying of David, the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David, go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. So David went up in obedience to the word that Gad had spoken in the name of the Lord. God hear the prayer of David, and he and God realized that David totally understand what he did was wrong, and he changed his mind. But the most important thing of this text for this afternoon is, this is not the end of the story. When here the prayer of David, God, of course, stopped the plague. But God said to David through the prophet of Gad, go up and get some kind of land and build an altar. So make the long story short, David go up then the place he got pointed, his son Solomon built the temple on that place. He bought the land with 600 shekels of gold. Such was expensive, very expensive. But normally, some commenters said maybe 600 silver was the normal cost of the land. But David paid 600 shekels of gold instead of silver because he thought the place was very important. So he sacrificed and he bought the place and built an altar to the Lord and there and sacrificed burnt offering and fellowship offerings. Burnt offering and fellowship offerings. And he called on the Lord. He built an altar and called on the Lord. Why God asked David to build an altar? This is the first time, you know. This is the first time God asked David to build an altar. Even he made the sin against the Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, God did not ask David to build an altar. This is the first and last time. And God pointed the place too. But God, I think the reason why God asked David to build an altar in such a place, it was God wants to tell David, do not forget what you have done and just worship the Lord and have the relation to God. If God can forgive what David did, but he want David have a correct relationship, have a good relationship, right relationship with God to build by building an altar. So David built an altar and devote the sacrifice. God answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. Amen. God answered the prayer with fire from heaven. With fire from heaven. Wow. Fire from heaven is not just on the Elijah's altar. Yeah. Even David's altar too. God sent the fire. After big mistake, a lot of sacrifice. But God asked David, build an altar. Which is, build the relationship with me again. He's getting old. He's ready to die. But God wants to have the relationship with David as personally, you know. One by one, David, have a place to worship me, to have a place to worship. just follow the command of God. He built an altar, maybe the stones, and put the offering. God sent the fire on the burnt offering. And God burnt the offering. Altar was maybe 3 feet or 4 feet. I don't know how. It's not so high like this, but maybe the height of the human being. It's like this height with stones and animal. God, how far from heaven? I don't know. But he sent the fire and burnt the offering. That is the relationship between we and God. We can do is just build an altar. Just collect the stones one by one and put the dead animal. That is all we could do. Put your prayer stone one by one. Put your altar. Put your prayer altar. Put it together and call on Him. Call on the Lord. Call His name. God will send the fire on your altar. On your altar. Wherever you are, when you build an altar, God will send the fire. Fire is the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The disciples prayed. What happened? The fire on their heads. Right? Right? Yeah. When you pray, when you put your altar, God will send the fire. And something will happen the place where you are when you pray. This is the scripture of this year. Let me read it again. David burned an altar, built an altar to the Lord there, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. He called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven, on the altar of burnt offering. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much that this story and the scripture, David made a big mistake and he lost many people and he was suffered, but when he realized the truth of God, when he fixed his sight into your sight, God, you accepted his prayer and asked him to build an altar to pray. Lord, we build our own altar in our house, in our schools, in our workplace, of course here in church, and we pray, we call your name. We do not call anybody. We do not trust on anything we have, because the things we have is not ours, but yours, Lord. Everything is from you, but we misunderstood, like David. We put our trust on the things, earthly things, money and people. Then we make mistakes, Lord. Lord, when we make mistakes, tell me, each one of us, build an altar. Build an altar. Build an altar. Put your eyes upon Jesus. Put your eyes in God's sight. Lord, when we build an altar, you will send your spirit. You will send your fire and burn the offering. The things we offer to you is very small, that you gave it to us. But Lord, you accept that. And as the sign of acceptance, you sent your fire, Lord. Thank you so much. Lord, we want to build something this year, Lord. Help us. Help us build the things to please you, Lord. To praise you, Lord. To worship you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for the people. Thank you for brothers and sisters, Lord. We will get together like in altar stones and give you praise offering every Sunday, Lord. Give you our testimony. Testimonies, and we give you the prayers, Lord. We are the scriptures. We give you the things we got, but everything is to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.